This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2311. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded September 4th, 2025, Algeria, Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, Cuba, Europe, Finland, France, India, Indonesia, International, Iran, Japan, Kaliningrad, Korea North, Mexico, Mongolia, North America, Oklahoma, Pakistan, Poland, Spain, Taiwan, USA, Uzbekistan, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. There are English segments from Ifrica FM in Algeria, but apparently they are hit and miss. We don't know any specific schedule, and they're only for a few minutes each, otherwise mostly in French or Arabic. Anyhow, Christer Brunström in Sweden reports in Shortwave Bulletin, Herring, news in English, on 17600, Sunday, August 24th, at 0850 UT. In Australian DX News, Rob Wagner in Victoria reports on 2310 Shortwave Australia in Wee Waa, New South Wales, August 25th at 0741, with old radio tapes of U.S. AM station WDRC in Hartford, Connecticut. He says you hear all sorts of eclectic programming on this station, and it's parallel to 4835 with good signals on both frequencies. Correspondence from the station owner, Dave, VK3ASE, says for the past 2 months, he's been running both channels at 30 watts due to high power bills instead of 100 watts. Lucio Otavio Bobovic in São Paulo, Brazil, has been monitoring the Brazilian currently active on 5035.10, Rádio Educação Rural de Cuari, such as on August 27th at 1000 UT with the national anthem, IDs and so forth, and made a recording via the remote in Lima, Peru, which has a 5-minute limit.
5.35 kHz, Rádio Cuari. Frequência de 560 kHz. Emissoras da Fundação do Santíssimo Redentor a serviço da evangelização na Amazônia. Transmitindo da Praça São Sebastião 228, Coari, Amazonas.
Você está na ZYF 272, Rádio Educação Rural de Coari e Rádio Coari AM 560 kHz. Chegando aonde as outras não chegam. Começa agora. Desperta a Amazônia.
Canadian Radio News from John Perkins via IRCA DX Monitor. On 990 CBY, Cornerbrook, Newfoundland, the CBC has applied to the CRTC to move this station to FM. A public hearing will be held on October 30th. The transmitter cites advanced age and time-worn condition is the sole justification provided. If CRTC approves CBY abandoning AM, CBC could cite the decision as a precedent in yet another attempt to win approval to shut down CBU 690 in Vancouver. In the past, it's required CBU AM to remain on the air to provide coverage for remote areas out of range of CBU's many FM repeaters. If CBU AM is silenced, next to go could be CBX 740 in Edmonton, CBR 1010 in Calgary, CBK 540 Watrous, CBW 990 in Winnipeg, and CJBC 860 in Toronto. It has been over 3 decades since the CBC stated its goal of eliminating all AM broadcasting. Tony Pavick says the 5th anniversary of his Pop Shop radio show from Canada will be broadcast via Wolverton, UK, 250 kilowatts on 11960, UT Tuesday, September 9th at 0300, and that's beamed to North America. There'll be a special 5th anniversary QSL for all shows that week. The high-power show will be repeated at 10 kilowatts from Channel 292 Germany at 17 UT on 3955 and 9670. It's not clear whether that is also on Tuesday or on the next day, Wednesday. And he says there will be a separate show on Channel 292 at 16 UT, Wednesday, 10 September. In Australian DX News, Rob Wagner in Victoria reports on 7225 Sichuan Ethnic Radio in Chengdu, China. August 23rd at 10:15 in the language listed as Nuo Su, also known as Sichuan Yi, spoken in southwestern China. Fair signal. Not to be confused with another similar-sounding language spoken in Papua New Guinea. Radio Havana Cuba is getting more and more transmitters back on the air, still with some problems. On UT September 2nd, they were heard in English on 6,000 and also 9710 kHz around 0200 UT, according to Tony Pavic in BC and Ron Trotto in Illinois. However, when I tried the next night, UT September 3rd, nothing heard on those frequencies. But the following night, UT September 4th, they were both on for long hours. Good modulation on 6,000. 9710 would have had good modulation, except it was constantly breaking up, as heard in more than one remote receiver. 9710 was still on at 0635 when I quit for the night. There is a period when it has co-channel interference from Vatican Radio in Ukrainian and Russian between 0440 and 0520. And then September 4th at 1417, I was getting them on three or possibly four frequencies at once, 15140, 13780, 11760, and something on 15230, probably also Havana. And 15140 has been on the air for the English broadcast at 19 until 20 UT, although a very weak signal around here. That English broadcast had not been heard for many months. They used to have two different hours of English programming each day, and maybe still do. But in the British DX Club, Alan Pennington reports, the first hour of programs, repeated from 0457, included the mailbag show with Ed Newman, and listener letters at 0432, and again at 0532. The European DX Council is in trouble. Christian Gibodeau writes, and is received via Dario Gambrielli in the AER group. Dear friends, Chrissy Brand and I, Christian Gibodeau, have stepped down from our roles as Secretary General and Deputy Secretary General. I remain in office on an interim basis pending appointment of new leaders. Unfortunately, no one has come forward to replace us, and since the end of the COVID-19 pandemic, we have only noticed a lack of interest in EDXC activities. The 2024 meeting in Estonia was a success, thanks to strong participation of SDXL members from Finland. For 2025, no member club is offered to host our annual conference. We were able to meet thanks to an invitation from the Swedish club SDXF to participate in their annual DX Parliament. A very interesting and friendly meeting, but there were only 12 of us from EDXC. So, are you still interested in EDXC? I would like to know if at least one person is offered to lead the association. Will it be possible to hold a meeting in 2026? If we don't receive responses, we could be forced to dissolve the European DX Council. That would be in 2027, which would be a tragic anniversary when it would celebrate its 60th anniversary, says Christian Gibodeau about the European DX Council. Via Kari Kallio, here's the planned schedule for the monthly broadcast of the low-power Scandinavian Weekend Radio from Finland. It's always on the first Saturday of the month, but starting the previous UT Friday at 2100, which is midnight in Finland. So that's September 5th into 6th. 6170 will be in use for the entire 24 hours, with two different 25-meter frequencies, 11690 at first, but for the last 3 hours, starting at 18 UT Saturday, 11720. From Radio France and Via Le Monde and Mike Cooper, there was a strike declared by the unions at Radio France from August 25th until September 1st, but back to work on the 2nd. Not clear if this affected shortwave broadcasts at all. Richard Langley in New Brunswick reports, we retreated to 15 minutes of English from All India Radio, following its French hour at 19:30. That was on 9620, September 3rd at 20:30. The technicians didn't cut the transmitter right after the conclusion of French. an interesting program, but it was not aired in its entirety. Via David Foster in Australian DX News, the Voice of Indonesia sent a message about the 7300 transmitter. We would like to inform you that the broadcast of RRI Program 3 is primarily intended for Indonesian communities residing in border areas adjacent to neighboring countries. As part of our domestic public broadcasting services, we strive to consistently offer the best services for our audience. They remain coy about transmitter location and power, David says, and of course the frequency since then has changed to and apparently remains on 7205. I've filed the following under international. It really applies to all media. Some comments from John Filiozzi about advertising. Or at least in the laissez-faire caveat emptor way it is permitted to operate. It is a scourge of humanity. It gets to interrupt far more important content and messages willy-nilly with inane offerings that misdirect attention and regularly stretch truth to monumental proportions, period. More about the Iranian clandestine on 15540 we mentioned last week. Transmitter site believed to be France. David Koenig of Interval Signals Online was listening again on Friday, 29 August. It crash-started at 1803 UT and finished abruptly at 1900, confirming a nominal Friday only scheduled at 18 to 19. Good reception via the remote in Baghdad. Ron Howard was also listening to this via the remote in Kuwait, August 29th from 1803. There were Persian monologues about Iranian and Jewish relationships and played some Jewish folk songs. There were long-standing relations between Iran and its Jewish community before the 1979 revolution. They are related civilizations. Although the name of the station, Radio Melat Iran. Japan, Takahito Akabayashi in Tokyo tells us, from September 1st to October 31st of next year, the period designated by Japanese Ministry of Internal Affairs and Communications as the second phase of special measures for suspension of AM station operations. During this period, AM commercial stations can suspend their AM. If no significant issues happen, they will be permitted to switch to FM broadcasting starting in the autumn of next year or later. 22 commercial AM stations have applied for this phase. Of these, 6 have already declared the complete FM transition and suspended AM. I'll just mention the frequencies. 1233, 1530, 765, 864, 1269, and 1116 kHz. Most of the others will preserve AM broadcasting in parallel with FM, suspending all or part of AM relay stations, and or reducing AM transmitting power. The so-called Russian pirate radio on 3940 sent an EQSL from this address, podradio@mail.ru. Roger in Germany, again located it by direction finding in Kaliningrad, and recorded this ID.
Вы слушаете русское пиратское радио. Наши передачи вы можете принимать в диапазоне коротких волн 75 метров в странах Восточной Европы, Украины, Прибалтики, Республики Беларусь, а также на территории Европейской части Российской Федерации на частоте 3940 кГц.
В эфире выпуск «Музыкального глобуса».
Our contributor Igor in Russia says, I know for sure the transmitter's owner welcomes the ongoing war. I don't know who produces the Radio Wagner program, but the Radio Club and Music Wave radio hosts use 3940 as an opportunity to be heard. Broadcasting along with propaganda is a matter of their conscience. And Roger Tower in Germany says, I've never doubted that, especially when you've been broadcasting for years at presumably 20 kilowatts from a well-protected exclave. Music and propaganda have always been a good mix. If you also present yourself as a pirate station, you're taking advantage of the positive image of Radio Caroline and others among many listeners who don't seem to understand this, or ignore it just to get one of those forgery-proof EQSLs with embedded C2PA content. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and Gigantic Hertz, World of Radio 2311. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Russell Lay, who sent a contribution via PayPal in U.S. funds, but not necessarily, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute via money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. Ron Howard reports on 7340, National Unity Radio, broadcasting from Taiwan, directed to North Korea. Heard via remote in Japan, Tuesday, September 2nd, at 12:43, with a minute in English, a quotation, "Don't count the days, make the days count," attributed to Muhammad Ali. Very poor muffled audio and light North Korean jamming. He says most of these types of stations broadcast to North Korea are now off the air, such as Voice of Freedom. Sekyung of the Northeast Asian Broadcasting Institute in Seoul says it was on 5920 or 6045 and FM, but it ended completely August 31st. The last transmission was at 1301 UT. And Ron Howard got this from ChatGPT. Voice of Freedom was a clandestine psychological warfare station operated by South Korea's Ministry of National Defense, aimed to penetrate North Korea with news of the South, stories about North Korea's regime, and even K-pop culture. MediaWeb News has an article from 38 North and other sources about the Korean radio battle. The propagandists and censors at the Workers' Party of Korea can probably hardly believe their luck. For decades, they've battled against a constant daily flow of uncensored news and info into North Korea, directly contradicting the stories they tell their own people about Kim Jong-un, the peninsula, and the world. But in the last 3 months, everything has changed. The battle has taken a decisive turn in North Korea's favor, and they did not need to do a thing. Since May, the number of hours of foreign radio programming into North Korea has been reduced by almost 80%, and the level could fall even further over the coming months. Via MediaWeb News, an article by Remy Humbert about Mexican social stations. There's a law that codifies a problem that went to the Supreme Court in 2021. The agency did not provide for transfer of social concessions. Someone died at 79, and the renewal of his station was denied. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of this decision. There are 79 radio stations and 4 TVs that are social concessions issued directly to people, physical persons. A concessionaire could die tomorrow, and a radio station would be forced off the air for good as a result, even a station with years on the air and existing listeners. This does not apply to commercial stations that are transferred to the deceased estate and then on to specific individuals or a company composed of the heirs. The only remaining long-wave broadcasts in the east of Asia are in Mongolia, and Stephen Luce in Houston has been monitoring these via remotes. The outlets on 164, 209, and 227 kHz are still active at some remote checks the past few months. I just listened to the Irkutsk Russia KBSDR around 14 UT August 30th and heard 209 kHz, but 164 and 227 were buried in local noise at the receiver. The Khabarovsk SDR has always been the best for receiving all three Mongolian long-wave frequencies, but that receiver has been offline at recent checks. North America, Tony Pavick in BC reports an absolute train wreck Saturday evening, UT Sunday, August 31st. A gong show for pirates, 3 transmissions heard with reasonably good quality, were all subject to jamming consisting of sirens and whooping. Radio 48 via Mixed Radio International on 6845 USB. The jamming started at 0230, and then Mixed Radio moved to 6875, and the jammer followed shortly later. When that disappeared, the jammer went to WDOG on 6955 at 0246. An MRI had moved to 6140 USB, right smack in the middle of the 49-meter band. From August 30th to September 2nd, for at least 80 hours straight, or whenever I checked, WKY 930 in Oklahoma City was in dead air. Yes, a carrier, but no modulation of stupid sports talk. Well, it was, after all, a holiday weekend. There's been no shortwave broadcasting from Pakistan for a number of years, but Mike Cooper spotted this news report, August 31st, from Pakistan Press International. Efforts are underway to transform Radio Pakistan into a self-reliant entity, according to Director General of PBC, Saeed Ahmed Sheikh. Among other things, it says, he visited the HPT high-power transmitter Landi site to assess the progress of the shortwave project. Guinness, W8BYA in Indiana, has been monitoring longwave broadcasts from Europe and says Radio Poland, 225 kHz, was being heard August 30th at 0240 UT with some faint music, the only one coming in. Quite a disappointment from Spain. English was supposed to resume Wednesday for a weekly broadcast at 10.04 UT, at least online, if not on shortwave at that time. But their advanced schedule showed it would also appear at the former time of 2200 UT. Well, it did not show up at either time. I was trying to hear it at 2200 on 17715 and others, but it was still in Spanish. Yet, get this, a press release from Radio Exterior via Alokesh Gupta says, for the first time, Radio Exterior will broadcast a program in Mandarin Chinese, adding another language to its broadcasts. This weekly program will be Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., Mondays 12:30 p.m., and 10:30 p.m. Spanish time, which is 2 hours ahead of UT. Jean-Michel Aubier was the one who confirmed no show of English at 10:04. Rick Barton in Arizona reports the Chinese number station from Taiwan on 11430. Xingxing Guangbo Diantai, or Star Star, in progress at 1310 UT, August 28th. A woman with five-digit number blocks stopped at 1320 and reopened with flute music and Chinese at 1331, a stronger signal than usual. Alan Holder draws our attention to another Taiwan station, Puxing's International Shortwave Event, 2025, according to their website. That's the station on 9410 and 15375. We're offering a special edition QSL and lucky draw for unspecified great prizes. The contest period is September 1st to October 31st. You need to send them a correct reception report with audio and a number of other rules which must be followed. Look it all up on their website once you translate it to English. It's fhbs.com.tw. Ben Cobb has published the 13th edition of his excellent newsletter, Experimental Radio News. One of the stories is about earthquake prediction experiments from WP2XSR and WZ9XTC, operating on 10 shortwave bands from 2 to 30 megahertz. Read all about it and lots more in this and previous issues at experimentalradio.news. Thanks to David Cole and Mike Cooper for forwarding many major press reports the last few days of August concerning Kari Lake and the Voice of America situation. They're from AP, Washington Post, New York Times. World of Radio Group members have seen the stories or how to link to them. I'll just read some of the headlines. Federal judge blocks Trump administration from removing Voice of America director. Judge blocks Kari Lake tasked to dismantle VOA from firing its director. Kari Lake lays off more than 500 staff at Voice of America parent agency. Trump is cutting 500-plus jobs at VOA and its parent agency despite legal challenges. Opinion at the Washington Post, Kari Lake's accusations about VOA and China are bad for the country. Kari Lake says VOA cooperated with the Chinese Communist Party. In reality, VOA fights propaganda. Bill Whitaker, who used to work for VOA, talks about Radio Marti. Back in the day, 1180 used to be run by VOA and had a three-tower array adjacent to a golf course in Marathon, Florida. The array was phased in such a way as to produce a peanut-shaped pattern that went almost directly south and covered Cuba nicely, despite Rochester's WHAM decades-long objections. I've never heard Marti on 1180 in Virginia, but I have sure heard the Cuban station's co-channel in total violation of Region 2 ITU agreements. Shortly after Marti became a thing, the transmitter moved to a nearby location and went to four towers with the option to use 100 kilowatts, rather than the usual limit of 50 for domestic AM. The pattern was still a south-facing peanut to protect WHAM and cover the whole island of Cuba. Ancient history now. I do recall getting a little too close to the area of TV Marti's Saddlebunch Key headquarters once, many years ago, and being shooed away despite having a U.S. government ID. We've heard nothing more from Alan Wiener about his laser broadcast system, but some replies in our group from Stephen Luce in Houston. Does WBCQ have any FAA clearance for this? Are these within legal power limits for pointing into the sky? Aiming lasers at aircraft can get you into deep trouble. And if the lasers are pointed in a fixed position, not being constantly adjusted for the Earth's rotation, then at any given distance beyond the solar system, the laser would be sweeping across the sky too quickly for a fixed observer to make anything out of it. It would just be an infinitesimal blip as it passed by. At the distance of one light year from Earth, around 6 trillion miles, and given the Earth's 24-hour rotation time, the laser beam would be moving across the sky at approximately 436 million miles per second. And Bill Tilford adds, if they were doing that here, they would also get a pretty hostile reaction from our area's astronomical society. I happen to be the secretary if it's adding to local light pollution. Maybe they're trying to get a subcontract for the Trump administration's Golden Dome project. Craig Christ reminds us of his extensive website, Medium Wave AM Slogans, among many other things at www.kg4lac.com. Mike Hoover refers us to an Associated Press story of August 31st, PBS and NPR stations working to cope with and survive government funding cuts. Catherine Mayer, NPR president, says the initial response in terms of support for both stations and the NPR network has been extraordinary. People did a lot of work leading up to the vote in actions and calls. When that did not prove convincing, they turned to direct support. Despite our earlier news about clandestines to North Korea going off, here's one still reported by José Ronaldo Xavier in Brazil from Uzbekistan transmitter site on 7606 variable. Monday, September 1st at 2050 to 2100, free North Korea radio. And with slight to moderate jamming. Since September 1st, Radio Vanuatu has been back on 9960 instead of 7260. Ron Howard hears it as early as 0330, and at 0700 it switches to 3945, as also reported by Manuel Mendez in Spain. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued September 1st. AN candidates were expected to peak at 55 and 7 on September 2nd, and there was quite a blackout. Not so bad later, peaking at 20 and 5 on September 15th, and 12 and 4 on the 7th to 9th. Quietest dates of only 5 and 2, September 11th to 14th, and 24th to 27th. Solar flux dropping from 215 September 1st, bottoming out at 120 September 12th to 15th, and rising to 180 by September 22nd. For much more info, consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors, hoping you'll hear me again next week, Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2311 with a standard disclaimer.